study. Good to have this number out. We appreciate some who may be visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study along. The book of John in the 8th chapter, and if you would kindly begin reading with me at verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came down into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I don't know how many times I preach from John chapter 8, and in particular these few verses. And I'm never ashamed to go back and read what the divine revelation has stated and make a study. And tonight I want us to focus upon one of the greatest problems we face in the religious world. And that is striking a sense of balance. And it's a very serious question among local churches. How do you strike the right balance? You know, you can look out, and in every congregation, you'll find there are problems. And there are questions that are asked. When do you allow divorce, and when do you prohibit divorce? And the Scripture speaks clearly to that. And when do you discipline an individual, or when do you forgive? And the Scripture speaks clearly to that. But many times, when you forgive a person, the reply is that you've condoned what they've done. So the real question is, is balance possible? I think there are two things to keep in mind. First, we need to beware of anyone who has the view to use the Word of God or the law of God to hurt people. And secondly, we need to beware of anyone who ignores sin. And you know who my example is? Not any paper, not any religious organization, but I need to go back to Jesus and let Him be my example. And when I look back in the book of John and the 8th chapter, I do not know of a better place to see the balance of not condoning sin and forgiving than in the life of Jesus. If you look in the book of John and the 8th chapter, notice the people were stirred up about Jesus. Remember, he'd already performed miracles before this event. He'd made the claim in John chapter 6 that I am the bread of life. He had said that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink of the living water in John chapter 7 and verse 37. And you can read in John 7 beginning at verse 45 that there was confusion among the Sanhedrin court over who is this man. They are wondering, just who is this Jesus? And they began to want to trap Jesus. So in your Bible, in the book of John in the 8th chapter, you find Jesus early in the morning teaching the people. And Jesus had come to the temple so the people could hear the words. Hear the teaching of God. And all of a sudden he was interrupted by the Pharisees bringing in a woman caught in the act of adultery. Can you imagine the feeling of the woman caught in the act of this sin, the shame she must have felt? Had they let her dress? Had they let her become modest before they come dragging her into the temple to point at her? And I want you to think about the shame she must have felt as she sits before Jesus. We do not know whether this woman was a prostitute or perhaps she was a wife that had gone astray. But one thing we do know, the individuals at this time were using her for bait to trap Jesus. They also saw the law as being useful to them in trapping Jesus. Look again in John 8. Notice they brought the woman in verse 4 with the statement to Jesus, "This woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Now, look at the next verse. Now, Moses in the law, underscore that. They're going to try to use the law to say, now, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Moses commanded us that we should stone her. What do you say? I want you to take note, my friend, they were using the truth of the Old Testament, not because they desired to be holy people, but because they desired their outcome. They were using it to trap Jesus. They didn't have a desire for truth. They had a desire to trap the Son of God. And they pointed their finger at this woman. Someone once said, when a finger is being pointed, someone's about to get bruised. And that's about right. And many times, people will stand back with stones in their hands and they'll point at an individual and they'll say, this is what we need to do. But notice what Jesus did. Jesus stooped down. Now I want to raise a question. Did Jesus stoop down to pick up a stone? No. But Jesus stooped down and began to write. And I've often thought, what did he write? Can you imagine how they looked at Jesus as he was writing? And you know what that did? That took the attention off the woman. They were waiting for Jesus to give an answer. And their eyes turned from the woman to Jesus. They said, we have brought you this question. You give us an answer. And Jesus, notice, doesn't answer them. And they continue to question him. And finally, notice what Jesus does not do. Jesus doesn't fight back. He might have stopped and requested, why isn't the man here? You've only brought the woman. This law says both are to be stoned. Instead, Jesus doesn't debate with them and talk about what Leviticus 20:10 says. Notice, Jesus does not say, you've not enforced this law for years. He could have said that. And notice, he didn't stop and point out their sins. He just stopped and said, you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. Have you ever stopped to think about how Jesus saw the woman? Now, he saw one caught in sin, and he never denied it. And notice, he never condoned the sin. In John chapter 8, look at verse 11 very carefully. Jesus said to the woman, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. He's not condoning it, but he doesn't condemn her either. He says, I'm telling you what to do. You change. He didn't ignore what she had done. He saw the woman as a person who could change and be forgiven. And he says, neither do I condemn you. You're forgiven. But don't let this be brought up again. He demands change. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lesson Jews. You know, at Eastside, as the people of God, we must never condone sin. We cannot ignore sin. We cannot treat it in a light manner. We must not let society be our standard of what is right and wrong, but the Word of God. And Paul said in Ephesians 2 that sin makes one dead to God. That our sins and trespasses separate us from God. And our conscience needs to be pricked. And our conscience needs to let us know when we've sinned. And we need to go to one another in love to restore one another, as Paul says in Galatians 6:1. But we need to see the person. We need to see their soul. And we need to use the Word of God to help their soul get right, not to try to use it for our benefit, to get our way, to use God's Word to change somebody so that our life is better. We change them so that their life is right with God. We need to see the person. But I want to tell you something else. We need to be careful lest we're people that walk around with stones in our hands. I'll be honest with you. There have been times I picked up the stone. And I've been ready to hurt. But then I've stopped and I've thought about, my friend, sometimes what we need to do is go to that individual in love, and we need to tell them that they, like this woman, needed to repent. They need to change. And you know what? We need to be grateful tonight that God wants us to change and forgive us of our sin. You know what we need to do? We need to pray that we be more like Jesus. And that we point the sinner to Jesus. We point the one who's been separated by their iniquities to the Son of God and say, you can change. You don't have to live different. I can't condone sin. I condemn sin, but I tell you what I do. I look at the person who's separated and I say, what you need to do is make your life right with God. Condoning sin doesn't change that person one bit. They're still separated. And in a lot of places, they're making light of sin. They're accepting things that God has never accepted. And I'll tell you, we cannot go beyond what God has declared. But I tell you, in our effort not to go beyond what is written, in our effort to not condone sin, let us not become so hard that we don't forgive when someone repents. But I'll tell you something then. It takes a heart like the Son of God to strike a balance. You ever noticed how easy it is to get out of a kilter? To either go to one extreme or the other? And we got a lot of people that go from one extreme to the other. Some who condone sin. And some who are so holier than thou, they think they never have sinned. I'll tell you something, my friend. Every one of us ought to be thankful that the God of heaven is a gracious and merciful God. Oh, He's holy and just. That's why sin must be dealt with, and it's dealt with through His Son. But He is also gracious and merciful. And I'll tell you something. The day I forget that He has extended unto me grace and mercy will be the day that I start using the Word of God to try to trap people. Because the Word of God no longer means to me what it should be. What I need to do is point people to the Son of God. Not condone sin. Condemn. But point people to the way that they can make their life right with God. You know what, my friend, we're dealing with? Eternal souls. And every soul is valuable in the eyes of God. You and I don't pick who's valuable. God said, I have died for that person and that person and that person. You look around this room, He died for every one of us. Thus, I must be a person who's willing to forgive. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized into Christ, do you recognize that God